You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Tuesday, March 24, 2026. Roundabout. More Canadian heavy crude is heading south, likely via the Rockies. Published by Rusty Brazil. It's coming. More Canadian heavy crude barrels are on their way to the U.S. Gulf Coast. It looks like some, if not most of that oil could be taking a somewhat circuitous route, through Pad 4, the U.S. Rocky Mountain states. To understand why, you've got to grasp both Canadian and Rockies production trends, the complex web of crude oil pipes from Alberta down to the U.S. Gulf Coast, the delicate regional balances that must be navigated along the way, the implications for the major Rockies crude hub at Guernsey, Wyoming, and of course, the economics of making the trip. That's what we do in Roundabout Canada to Rockies crude flows reshaping the Pad 4 Guernsey market, our new multi-client study developed in partnership with Plainview Energy Analytics. In today's RBN blog, we discuss the contents of that comprehensive analysis and why the topics covered are so important to the crude market in North America. Be warned, this is an unabashed commercial plug for our new study. We hope you find it intriguing. We also discuss the report during a webinar on Wednesday, April 1st, which is now available for replay. Please note that you need to be signed in with your free RBN account to watch. Canadian crude oil production has been, is now, and will keep on growing, with almost all of the increase coming in the heavy, viscous, high sulfur variety, what's euphemistically called oil sands. But where's it going to go? Not to the Midwest. Refineries there are full up with the stuff. Not to exports out of British Columbia. The new pipe that takes crude that way was delayed by a decade, required a Canadian government takeover to reach completion, and ultimately cost nearly six times its original budget. Ouch! No, the barrels will be coming to the U.S. Gulf Coast, home to the largest concentration of heavy oil refineries in the world. But exactly how it is going to get there is a wide-open question. There are a number of midstream companies vying for the opportunity to move those barrels south. Several pipeline proposals are in the works that would move incremental Canadian crude through different corridors and hubs before ultimately linking into the systems that carry crude to the Gulf Coast. No single project lays out the entire route from origin to destination, but the various proposals point toward a chain of roundabout connections that could move those barrels step by step toward the Gulf, with many of those barrels flowing through the Rocky Mountains. Before getting to some of our key findings, it will help to describe just how comprehensive this study truly is. This work is essentially the Bible of Canadian crude flows to the U.S., especially through the Rockies. 20-plus maps with receipt points, delivery points and interconnects, 25-plus graphics of flow corridors, production trends, and price relationships, detailed regional balance calculations, 80-plus pages in all. It is everything you need to know about how crude oil logistics and markets work from Alberta down to Cushing, and beyond. Here's what can be concluded from all that analysis. Canada to Rockies crude flows reshaping the Pad 4 Guernsey market. Western Canada will continue to deliver crude oil production increases for the foreseeable future, with Alberta's oil sands driving most of that expansion through incremental projects rather than large greenfield developments. That oil must go somewhere, and accommodating the bitumen-derived, heavy, viscous crude will require additional pipeline capacity. That crude will flow on three major corridors. Number 1. Pad 2, Midwest Corridor. The dominant pathway, anchored by Enbridge Mainline and Keystone, delivering large volumes from Edmonton Hardisty into the U.S. Midwest, with onward connectivity to hubs such as Flanagan, Illinois, Patoka, Illinois, and Cushing. Number 2. Pad 4, Rockies Corridor. A set of cross-border systems delivering crude into the U.S. Rockies via Enbridge Express, Bow River Milk River Front Range, and the Rangeland Glacier Western Corridor systems, converging on key Rockies markets and the hub at Guernsey. Number 3. Pad 5, West Coast Corridor. The westbound export route via Trans Mountain TMX to British Columbia and export markets, with related access into the U.S. Pacific Northwest. These corridors originate primarily in Edmonton and Hardisty, which serve as the central hubs for collection, blending, and pipeline origination for almost all of the crude from the Western Canadian Sedimentary Basin, or WCSB. Some Canadian producers and policymakers would prefer to direct more of this growth westward via the corridor to the British Columbia coast, where direct access to Asian markets offers better netbacks to the Canadian border and reduced dependence on the vagaries of U.S. policy. The TMX expansion to the British Columbia West Coast demonstrated both the appeal and the difficulty of that approach. The project took years longer and cost billions more than originally projected, and it now operates at near full utilization with limited near-term expansion room beyond a planned DRA-driven increase of roughly 90,000 barrels per day, and the prospects for a longer-term pump station expansion of up to 270,000 barrels per day. The experience reinforced a durable lesson: the political, regulatory, and cost risks of new West Coast pipeline construction are formidable. For the next wave of capacity, the path of least resistance runs south. That means the incremental Canadian barrels will flow into the U.S. through one of two primary corridors: into the Midwest PADD 2 via the Enbridge mainline, or PADD 4 via one or more Rockies pipeline systems. We'll explore another, more indirect route via South Bow Keystone later. The Enbridge mainline corridor offers real but constrained opportunity. Enbridge's mainline optimization phase 1 will add around 150,000 barrels per day by 2027, with Phase 2 potentially adding up to 250,000 barrels per day more by 2028 by offloading light oil onto Energy Transfer's Dakota Access Pipeline, or DAPL, and freeing mainline space for additional heavy volumes. These are meaningful additions, but they face inherent physical limits. The pipe can only be optimized so far. The Rockies Corridor offers a different, and increasingly important, pathway. Existing systems like Express, Bow River Front Range, and the Rangeland Western Corridor already move roughly 400,000 barrels per day into and through PADD 4. What stands out is not just the existing throughput, but the structural flexibility embedded in these systems. Several downstream segments, particularly south of key refinery delivery points in Montana, are operating below nameplate capacity, creating opportunities for incremental throughput through targeted debottlenecking, additional pump capacity, and commercial reoptimization. At the same time, a more ambitious concept appears to be taking shape. A large new build, cross-border pipe from Bridger Pipeline intended to move Canadian crude directly to Guernsey, combined with the potential repurposing of South Bow's built but unused Keystone XL infrastructure on the Canadian side of the border, points toward a significantly expanded pathway into the Rockies. Neither Bridger nor South Bow has confirmed a joint project, but the geographic alignment of the two proposals is unambiguous. The dormant Keystone XL right-of-way reaches the border at essentially the same location where the Bridger route begins. In effect, the combined system would recreate the northern portion of the Keystone XL export pathway through a completely different downstream route than the original Keystone XL project. The result would be a potential step-change increase in Canadian crude flows into PADD 4. Beyond Guernsey, to Gulf Coast in competition with Venezuela. If those barrels reach Guernsey, they still will need a path to downstream markets. Today, outbound capacity from Guernsey is split between two primary corridors. The Illinois Corridor, via the Platte Pipeline, provides eastbound access to Midwest refining centers but is constrained by pipe size and limited expansion potential. The Colorado to Cushing Corridor, anchored by systems such as Pony Express, represents the more scalable pathway, with existing capacity of roughly 400,000 to 500,000 barrels per day and clear potential for expansion through looping, building a parallel pipeline. Taken together, the direction of travel is clear. More Canadian crude is likely to move through the Rockies, and Guernsey will play a central role in that shift. The key uncertainties are timing and scale. A large new build system would accelerate the transition dramatically, but even incremental expansions across existing pipelines would steadily increase flows into PADD 4. That shift has important implications for crude quality. Growth from the WCSB is dominated by bitumen-derived heavy crude. As those barrels move into Guernsey, the overall crude slate at the hub will become heavier. That matters because Midwest refiners are already well supplied with Canadian heavy crude, primarily via the Enbridge mainline. Incremental heavy barrels moving through Guernsey will therefore need to move further downstream, mostly to the Gulf Coast. The Gulf Coast refinery complex is well positioned to process these barrels. A large majority of capacity is located at facilities equipped with coking units and other upgrading infrastructure designed to handle heavy, sour crude. In that sense, Canadian barrels are a natural fit. However, those barrels will not have the market to themselves. Venezuelan crude, also heavy and high sulfur, is re-entering the U.S. Gulf Coast market and competing for the same refinery capacity. This creates a direct competitive dynamic. Two sources of heavy crude are targeting the same set of complex refineries. While Venezuelan production growth is likely to be gradual, even modest increases add incremental supply into a market that is already adjusting to rising Canadian volumes. The result is a heavier supply stack competing for a finite set of refinery coking units and other heavy crude processing infrastructure. The pricing implications are straightforward. Heavy light crude differentials are likely to widen as incremental supply competes for limited processing capacity. For Gulf Coast refiners with significant coking capability, that environment is conducive to higher margins. Infrastructure sequencing will be critical. Inbound capacity into Guernsey can be expanded through a combination of optimization and new builds, but without corresponding increases in outbound capacity, serious bottlenecks will emerge. The most likely solutions include expansions of Pony Express, a potential new build from Guernsey to the existing Keystone Pipeline at Steel City, Nebraska, or a couple of other possibilities. Beyond pipeline projects and logistics, a few other market implications merit attention. Number 1. There's U.S.-Canada policy risk. The North American crude market has long benefited from an integrated trade framework, but recent developments have shown that cross-border flows are not immune to political disruption. Tariffs, legal challenges, and ongoing trade agreement reviews introduce uncertainty into long-term investment decisions. Even if those disruptions prove temporary, they influence how capital is allocated and how projects are structured. Number 2. Guernsey is becoming a more complex hub. In addition to increased heavy Canadian inflows, Bakken production has increasingly moved into the region, adding to overall supply and deepening market liquidity. This convergence of supply sources enhances price discovery but also introduces greater variability in crude quality and pricing dynamics. Differentials at Guernsey, particularly relative to Cushing, are becoming more important indicators of broader mid-continent market conditions. Number 3. Of course, the Iran conflict introduces a layer of uncertainty that cuts across nearly every theme in this study. Higher oil prices improve producer economics and may accelerate shipper commitments for the pipeline projects described here. But the directional implications are not straightforward. A prolonged conflict that severely curtails Middle Eastern supply to Asia, which receives roughly 80% of Hormuz transiting crude, would make Asian buyers willing to pay a substantial premium for any available alternative supply, including Canadian barrels via British Columbia. That dynamic would strengthen the case for TMX expansion and West Coast egress, potentially pulling volumes away from the U.S. Rockies corridor rather than toward it. An escalation severe enough to trigger a global recession reorders priorities entirely. The infrastructure decisions that producers, shippers, and pipeline developers face over the next 2 to 3 years will be made in the shadow of that uncertainty, and the outcome of the conflict will matter as much as any pipeline project decision described in our market analysis. In the end, the emerging picture is one of structural transition. Canadian production growth is steady and dominated by heavy crude. West Coast expansion is constrained. Midwest markets are largely saturated. The Rockies corridor offers a combination of existing infrastructure, latent capacity, and expansion potential that makes it an increasingly important potential pathway for incremental barrels. The route may not be the most direct, but it is increasingly the most workable. More Canadian crude is likely to flow south, not in a straight line, but through a series of connected systems that move barrels step by step toward the Gulf Coast. As those flows build, the role of Guernsey will continue to evolve, and the pricing, infrastructure, and competitive dynamics of the broader North American crude market will evolve along with it. Understanding how those pieces fit together, production growth, pipeline capacity, crude quality, downstream demand, and policy risk, will be critical for market participants navigating what is shaping up to be a pivotal period for North American crude flows. Roundabout was written by John Anderson and Steve Howe and appears as the first song on side one of Yes's fourth studio album, Fragile. The song was written on Yes's tour bus as it encountered many roundabouts on the road through the mountains from Aberdeen to Glasgow in Scotland. John Anderson said it was a cloudy day and you couldn't see the tops of the mountains, hence the line, "Mountains came out of the sky, and they stand there," from which he drew the storyline for the 8:29-minute prog rock song. It was released in an edited 3:27-minute version as a single in January 1972 and went to number 13 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. It has been certified 2X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA. Personnel on the record were John Anderson, vocals, Steve Howe, guitars, backing vocals, Chris Squire, bass, backing vocals, Rick Wakeman, keyboards, and Bill Bruford, drums, percussion. A defining element of the track is Chris Squire's bass work, which features an aggressively picked attack and an unusually bright, trebly tone that cuts through the mix. Rather than remaining in a traditional supporting role, the bass line operates almost as a co-lead instrument, locking in with the guitar while adding a driving, percussive edge that gives the song much of its forward momentum. Fragile was recorded in August and September 1971 at AdVision in London and produced by Eddie Offord and Yes. Released in November 1971, it went to number 4 on the Billboard 200 albums chart and, like the Roundabout single, has been certified 2X Platinum by the RIAA. One single was released from the LP. Yes is an English progressive rock band formed in London in 1968. They are regarded as among the genre's pioneering bands. they have released 23 studio albums, 18 live albums, 15 compilation albums, 1 EP, and 44 singles, and have sold more than 40 million records worldwide. Yes has won a Grammy Award, was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2017, and has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. 20 members have passed through the band since its inception. Original guitarist Peter Banks died in London in March 2013 at 65. Founding member/bassist Chris Squire died in Phoenix in June 2015 at 67, and drummer Alan White died in Newcastle, Washington, in May 2022 at 72. The band still records and tours with longtime guitarist Steve Howe at the helm. They are currently on their Fragile tour in the UK, performing the Fragile album, including Roundabout, in its entirety.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.